All right. Shlis Yaakov, Rav Yaakov Reicher, was dying in Prague in the early 1700s. One of the great Meshivim, one of the important Ashkenazim, one of the more important Ashkenazim Meshivim, is quoted very often in the later halachic literature. And you see here that he's writing in. Did I mention he was in Prague?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, dying in Prague. A couple generations before the Nodeb Yehuda, early 1700s.
Who are his contemporaries in Prague?
I don't know. Mm-hmm. Not offhand. I think Rav David Oppenheim was the Rav of Prague in the generation before the Nodeb Yehuda. I don't know if they... I think he died in, like... He was born in, like, the 1660s, Rav Yaakov Reicher. He passed away in the 1730s. Nodeb Yehuda got to Prague in 1755. So it's probably Rav David Oppenheimer was the Rav of Prague in his era. Dayanim were stable characters. Rabbanim, they could be, you know, every 2-3 years they could be somewhere else. Dayanim generally stuck around, and they were often from that community. Rav Yaakov Reicher, he was named after, he was known as Reicher because of the town that he moved to. I don't know the town. I don't know, like, you know, obviously it's Reich or Reicher, but I don't know the current name of the
R-Z-E-S-Z-O-W.
It's in Poland, obviously, because it has no vowels.
If you can pronounce that.
Well, is it Reicher or something like
it's
that?
Something to do with, yeah.
You have a classmate, Reicher, correct?
Yeah.
Fender. Yeah. So I...
He had like 3 times more names than anyone else I knew.
Yeah. I'm not 100% certain, but I remember hearing that, you know, he tined that he was a descendant. Maybe yeah, maybe no. The point is he's named after the city, so, you know, if you have, if he's from the city, then maybe, I mean, whatever, anybody from that city could have had that last name.
1670, that's a long time ago to be related to someone. It's unlikely that he actually has a proper bloodline.
Yeah, put it this way, last names at that point were still informal. Right? I mean, he was known as Reicher because that's the name.
According to Wikipedia.
Is what?
His name is Yaakov and Yosef Reicher Bechofen.
Bechofen, right. Well, Bechofen is also a toponym, right? It's also named after a city. So his father was from one city, and his father moved to a different city. So his son was known as Reicher because, whatever, because he was, that's where he was from. You know, that's where a lot of, you know, at a certain point, last name stabilized, and, you know, toponyms were very common source of last names. Like Hildesheimer. Here's a picture from, it's in the British Museum from around 1660. It's of a coffee house. All right? You see big... Okay. Big, coffee pot staying warm, big cauldron where it's brewing. And you see that, you know...
Barista?
Is the only woman in the picture, right? Is the barista. And everybody else is sitting, and if we could remove that Getty Images thing, you would see that, what are they doing? They have newspapers, right? They're sitting, they're discussing. They're talking about world events and current events. Now, those are both... phenomena that come onto the scene in the late 17th and early 18th century. Meaning, it's not always in the same place, right? Coffee actually, you know, it became popular in the Arab world before it became popular in Europe. It's native to Africa, coffee. It's native to Ethiopia. So the first people that you have drinking it are actually the first. Non-Africans that are drinking it are Yemen. You know, it becomes popular in Yemen, becomes popular throughout the Ottoman Empire. In the age of colonialism, when Europe starts penetrating Africa, and then Europe starts, you know, colonizing the New World and, you know, planting coffee elsewhere. You know, it starts to take over Europe, first in the places where there was, in like Amsterdam, and then it penetrates further inland. Right? Prague, it comes fairly late because Prague is inland. You know, and newspapers also, it's the coffee house, right, is a cultural phenomenon that, you know, it hadn't existed before. It's a place where, you always had like meeting places, like you always had bars, but the culture in a bar is one of, it's a lot rowdier. You know, there were fights, brawls, there's people are drinking, people are drunk. Coffee houses, on the contrary, people are very alert, and people are they're exercised about something. So you have a, you begin to develop this culture, right? And because people didn't have the tools to prepare coffee in their own homes, right, it becomes a center. And the people that are going there, it becomes a place for the exchange of ideas, right? And for people to read the news, discuss the news, and that's how it, that was the role of the coffee house within society. And it became like a very important locus for civil society, for what's going on in these cities. So that's the context in which the Shvosyakov is writing. It says, Talmidei HaVatik HaRav HaMufla Moreno Rav Rav Yehuda Av Beis Din De Medinas Taitz. Deitz is a German city across the river from Cologne, from Köln. So today it's actually part of the city of Cologne, and Cologne, right? Cologne is in the northern part of the Rhine, and it's Cologne is fairly close to Amsterdam and Hamburg, which are both cities that were major port cities, right? So it would have, the coffee culture, right, or the coffee house culture would have reached Deitz before it reaches Prague. Okay, so the question is coming from Deitz to Prague, and this is before the first recorded coffee houses in Prague are a couple of decades later. Okay, the Medina's Deitz la'ezata B.O.C. al mishteh b'nei harav hamufla ba'achsanya shel Torah, meaning I got his letter. I got your letter when I was at the mishteh. I was at the wedding of my son, the great rabbi, ba'achsanya shel Torah be'beis mechutani ha'ksin ha'mufursan Rav Yosef Tisseldorf. Okay. So I got this, he's writing in his, I guess he wrote in his notebook. I got this letter when I was at the, when I was at the Sheva Brachos of my son by his father-in-law, Rav Yosef Tisseldorf. V'zeloshono. This is the question. Yorenu Adoni Moriv Rabbi Halacha Lamaisa Shezesh Shanim Horesi Le'esar. For several years now, I've been paskening Isser L'Masha Miktas B'nei Adam B'Medina Zu Nahagu Leilech Al Beis Hakavi. B'Shabbos, right? They go to the coffee house on Shabbos. V'shosim hakavi shenis basha, and they drink the coffee that is cooked there, right? It's brewed there. V'nosnim tam lefgam, and they give a very poor reason for it. Meaning he's using that term. V'nosnim tam lefgam is a halachic term. He's using it, judgmentally. He's expropriating it and saying they're giving a bad reason. Miknias halachim b'Shabbos, right? They compare it to buying bread on Shabbos. Sha'afa akum, that was baked by a non-Jew. Uva emes, yira haroa degama pasno aginizer. The truth of the matter is that it should be ushered by bread also. Meaning because it was a long-standing custom to buy bread from non-Jews on Shabbos, or to obtain bread from non-Jews on Shabbos. Right? And, you probably had you delivered bread every morning, and Shabbos is no exception, whatever. And that was the custom. So he says, why is coffee any different? And he's saying, like, you're right, it's not different. They're both usher. But kal v'chomer b'coffee. But coffee's even worse. To have a nolad gomor. To me ikara enu roi la'achila. right? But beforehand, it's not raw for anything, right? I don't know what bread dough is raw for, but, you know, whatever. It's nola gomor. Because it, earlier it wasn't raw for anything, and now it's raw l'achila.
Mulvad. Nola to Shabbos.
Nola is an Isser on Shabbos. There's actually a machlokas whether nola is an Isser on Shabbos. But, like, as you know, like, you know, there's something.
Ice on Shabbos?
Like ice, right?
Right. I mean, we don't, but that's the Isser.
Sugyan Beitza.
Yeah, but usually everything Bishul, I mean, I don't remember, like, this is Nolad and Bishul.
Right, Nolad is
it's a different phenomenon. He's basically saying Bishul is Nolad.
Well, he doesn't get into Bishul in the answer.
But he's calling this Nolad. It's either Bishul or not Bishul, but in theory, every Bishul is Nolad because you have something that's not.
I guess some things with Bishul are edible before they're cooked, so there's Bishul, but there's.
I mean, if you cook a carrot on Shabbos, it's not Nolad because you need a carrot raw.
If it was edible before it was cooked, then it was not Nolad either because it was.
Right, you're correct. If it's edible before it's cooked, then it's not
Nolad. And it's not Bishul. Hey. It's not Bishul. I'm just saying, I think you're calling it from the Nolad.
Well, it's Bishul. You're not going to cook something that's edible on Shabbos. You can't, like, go cook a carrot on Shabbos just because it's edible.
Right, it might be an Isser Drabanan.
Sorry.
Davar Shenechel Kmo Shuchai is.
Yeah, it's Bishul Achav Bishul. You can't cook something that's
edible. No, I'm saying something that doesn't need to be cooked. Davar Shenechel Kmo
Shuchai. No, that's actually not true. Right. That's only the rice. It's not true. You can't if it's already edible. It's not. Okay. It's a weird Nolad reference.
Yeah, I agree. It's a strange net reference, and I don't understand the distinction between bread and coffee on that regard because coffee is also Nolad. We gave a little bit of a background on the history of coffee culture. I showed this little picture from the British Museum that shows a coffee house in the 1600s. Where you see a bunch of men drinking coffee and talking, like you see newspapers on the tables, and it became like a cultural center where people would get together and they would discuss news and politics, and it was a brand new thing, like meaning it had just reached Europe, you know, various parts, you know, from the late 1600s and into the early 1700s, depending where in Europe, the ones that you know, England and Amsterdam, the ones that had foreign trade, it came earlier. Right, or Italy, or, you know, in Venice, where there was a strong, you know, strong ties to the East, it came earlier. Elsewhere, you know, like in the interior of Germany, it comes later. And this tshuva is written from Prague, which is deep in the interior of Germany, to Cologne, Kern, which is really like, you know, it's the northern Rhineland, which is already, you know, not far from Amsterdam and Hamburg, which are. Mm-hmm. Which are part of the, you know, which are places that have strong trade. And so it comes to that part of Germany before it gets to Prague.
Right.
Okay. So the question is, there are people that are coming to coffee houses on, there are people that are in his community in Deitz. They're going on Shabbos. Okay. And they give, you know, they justify their actions with lousy reasons. This is still part of the question. Demei kara, eno ro'oi, right, la'achila umovad, iser chalal iser, right? And so in addition to iser chalal iser, meaning there's two isurim here, there's bishul akum, ba'af the tshuvas ber eshek ha'erich lahatir mishum bishul akum, right? And even though there's a tshuva that says that there's no bishul akum by coffee, right, which everybody that frequents Starbucks is now breathing a sigh of relief, I haven't looked at the Be'er Eshek, but I'm assuming that there's a really good heter because everybody uses it. It wouldn't, you know, it's interesting. Like, you wouldn't say that it's not roi, you know, lalos al shulchan malachim, because it probably is roi lalos al shulchan malachim, right? But in the history of coffee, like, it actually went fairly quickly from being a drink of the rich people to being a drink of the masses. You know, it got cheap enough, fast enough, that it became a drink of the masses. So I don't know what the basis of the heter is, though. I don't know. You're a coffee drinker. Do you know the... is it discussed? Who discusses it? Who's the...
Why
in terms of, like, why it's not Bishul Akum?
I don't know who discusses it. Can't tell you.
All right. Okay. Mikol mokom lishlos b'shavas l'chora nira le'ez. Right? It would seem... Thanks.
Oh, thank you.
It would seem that it should certainly be usher to drink it on Shabbos. L'chorin nirlet. Okay. Alken yechavidato harama bazet. Right, and then he goes on to another shiloh, which is not our issue here. Okay. Tshuva aldos shtiyas ha-kafi b'shabas. Mashamiktas no'agin heter. Mashamiktas no'agin heter. Yavakivin. Right? You're right. Uvadai lo yavahena osim. It's not good what they're doing. V'rabim shasu. Lo lema. V'tihiyavon osam alatzmosam. We say v'rabim shasu. Right? It's... That phrase usually comes up, you know, Rabim Shasu, like Rabim Shasu me mehem, right? You know, many have drunk from his waters. Like, it's usually like in a positive context. Here, it seems he's using it in a negative context. Rabim Shasu, meaning many people have drunk from this iser, right? Tarte mashma. Lo lema tehi avon sam alatzmo sam. Now, we shouldn't say that, like, you know, let him rot, you know, let him suffer the consequences. Val kol mi sheyesh v'yado limchos, rather, anybody that can protest, but there mashes sumpin lahavi sani goren lidveyam mikinyin hapas, in my, val kol mi sheyesh v'yado limchos, but there. You know, anybody that can protest against this should. Mashes sumpin lahavi sani goren lidveyam mikinyin hapas, right? They defend, they justify themselves with, you know, with a comparison to bread, ain raya klal. That's not a good comparison. Below dummy, they're incomparable. Afilu ki'uchla ladana, right? He actually, the word ki'uchla here is usually in the Gemara, ki'uchla ladana, meaning it's like you're comparing apples to oranges. It's the Talmudic equivalent. You're comparing the, you know, the top of the barrel to the body of the barrel. Usually it's spelled with an ayin. It's interesting here. So I guess that would be even more. Uchla with an aleph means food. Right, so it's not like even, you know, it's like you're not even comparing apples and oranges, you're comparing apples to barrels, right? It's like totally, you know, kasher avayer, as I will explain. De garcina b'shabas parakol kisvei, nakri shehidlik es aner mishtamish la'oro Yisrael. So this is the basic sugya of, you know, when is it considered, right? It's usur for a Jew to benefit from the malacha that a non-Jew did on his behalf, on behalf of the Jew. Right, so this is the sugya that discusses, okay, how do you determine whether something was done on behalf of the Jew, right? So if a non-Jew lights a candle, so the Jew can benefit from the candle, im bishvil Yisrael, but if he did it on behalf of the Jew, aser. Mila mayim lahashkos behemto, if he filled up a trough in order to give his animals to eat, mashke achar of Yisrael, and if there's leftovers, then the Jew can go and drink the, you know, bring his animals to drink that water. The imbishvil Yisrael aser, but if he did it on behalf of a Jew, then it's aser. Asa nachri kevesh leirebo, right? If a non-Jew built a ramp, right? They're on a boat. He built a ramp to go down to disembark from the boat on Shabbos. Yored achar of Yisrael, the Jew can follow him down. Okay, v'im v'chulu aser. Okay, uve Gemara, and the Gemara says utzricha, right? You need all of these. The iyash min a ner. If he just would have said ner, mishum ner leechad mer lemeya. That's the basic principle, right? A candle for, you know, light for one person can serve 100 people, right? Aval mile, but the case of filling up a trough, gezera dilma asil ifushe b'Yisrael Yisrael. You might think that there's a gezera that maybe he will come to increase it on behalf of a Jew. Ad kan. Ulechori yesh ledakdik. Dilma ka'amar dilma. Why is it saying dilma, right? Meaning, why is it saying there's that you might think that there's a gezera dilma, asila afushi? Loka amar chayshina and shema afish. And he doesn't say, let's just say, we're chosheish that he increased it, b'shvil Yisrael. Ela nir lomar. But it seems, divadai kol hecha de chayshina and she'afilu b'shvil Yisrael. Right? Anytime there's a real chashash, it's she'afish b'shvil Yisrael. Right? If there's a real chashash that he increased the quantity, that he increased the volume on behalf of a Jew, pshita da aser, then you're certainly not, a Jew is not allowed to benefit from it on Shabbos. Kid the isa behedya beparaka kolma arvi. Kevin the kachazi, the kamafshi ma'aisi lehu, aser lehu, adkan. Ava ligzer dilma aser lefushei efshar de lo gazrina. Right? But to make a gezera, right, in a case where you know that he didn't, right, so it's subtle, right? So, you know, if a non-Jew is, you know, let's say, cooking coffee, or a non-Jew is, you know, is brewing coffee. So if he knows that he'll be, that, meaning, if he just brewed a pot of coffee, and there's leftovers, and you come over and you say, hey, can I have the rest of that coffee? And he's like, sure, go ahead, right? Then, fine. But once it's already habituated, meaning if you've already done that 2-3 times, then he's gonna say to himself, oh, okay, the Jew is gonna come and he's gonna drink the coffee afterwards. So therefore, I'm gonna make extra coffee just in case my friend the Jew comes, right? So that already you're getting into problematic territory. Now this is a big question. You know, this is something that I guess in the world of Amir al-Akum, right? It's something that's often not appreciated. Or it's often something that's not understood and therefore not done, right? There are basically three potential issues of Goyim doing malach on behalf of Jews on Shabbos. One is Amir la'akum. It's usher to tell a non-Jew to do something for you on Shabbos, right? It's the statement itself. It's the Amira itself, which is problematic. The second one is this, where a Jew cannot, you know, is not allowed to derive benefit from a malacha that a non-Jew did on his behalf on Shabbos. And then the third one is marasayin, right? If it's a Jewish business that's opened on Shabbos, even al pi a heter mechir or whatever, or if you have, you know, contractors that are working on your, you know, building your house on Shabbos and it's identified as your house, then that's a third issue, right? The whole wink and nod thing resolves the issue of amir la'akum, right? The whole, boy, don't you think it's cold in here? That works for Amir la'akum. It doesn't work for this. So, you know, usually when you talk about, you know, ner la'echad, ner la'meya, right? You forgot to turn on the air conditioner. So you invite a non-Jew in. He's hot now. So you can say, like, yeah, there's nothing we can do about it. But if you're really hot, you know, feel free to turn on the air conditioner for yourself. Right, so there you could say it's the principle of ner la'echad ner la'meya works because, you know, you turn on the air conditioner, it doesn't just cool off the room for one person, it cools off everybody in the room.
The light in the hotel room that everyone has.
You what's that?
Light on. You tell someone at the front desk to shut or someone does.
Right.
Not working based on this.
Meaning if you tell them, well, if you tell them not to shut it off, meaning if you leave it on and you go to the front desk and say, right,
shut it.
So you have to be like, so there, like, okay, the bathroom light is off in your hotel room, right? So like you're basically inviting the bellhop to come and use your bathroom in the hotel room. So that's kind of creepy, no? You go to like the bellhop's like, yeah, please use the bathroom in our...
Because you can do it in my
room. Yeah.
Have a Coke and LA. Yeah. Pepsi.
Yeah. Yeah, no. So it's awkward and it can be problematic, right? You have to, you know, when you ask it, it has to be a way that the non-Jew is actually, you know, getting benefit from the from the malacha that he does, that he's actually not doing it on your behalf. A hotel room, you know, a bathroom in a hotel room, that can be problematic, you know, for that reason.
It's on his behalf. He's doing his job.
No, I mean it's clearly on your behalf. I mean, obviously he's doing his job. He's, you know, but it's
the state of being. There are two different things. So for when it comes to chetza, there's the chetza that's asr b'hana until after Shabbos, right? Until
today she gave asr.
Yeah. So that's number one. So in this case, let's say he comes in and he doesn't get the benefit. You tell him he does it, and however it works, he turns around and he flips the switch on and off. But the state you're suggesting, the state of being in that room and getting hana from either the light being off, again, there's the on and off, but
right.
Or the air conditioning working, there's an isser hana in.
Right. So there are certain things, right? There's also a question of like how to quantify hana, right? Meaning, what kind of hana am I getting if somebody turns on the air conditioning, right? It's more pleasant to be here, but am I getting like it's there's no real tangible hana, like when somebody cooks something for you, right? Here's a chefza which is asr b'hana, right? If somebody turns on the air conditioning, even with a, you know, even on my behalf, if somebody turns on the air conditioning, what's the chefza of iser? Right? What's
asr? Talk about this in terms of a room. The light wasn't right. On, you couldn't function. Now the room becomes functional. But again, even then, the problem.
Right. If it's completely, if it's pitch black, then no. There's even like, you know, there's like you have to keep your eyes closed or whatever. Right? If it's like a little bit of light and it's increasing the light, then even if it's done on behalf of a Jew...
that's the thing. So that's why it's not so... Yeah, I mean, our cases, typically they're not pitch black. It's just a matter of comfort levels. Right. Our knowledge is completely different.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
When it comes to food, it's much more defined. It didn't exist, does exist, now it's right.
Right, in Akinami, you could probably theoretically use the bathroom. Yeah. You could probably use the bathroom in the hotel. So otherwise, you could use the force, Luke. You know?
Because it's opposite. So you get to your hotel, the kids forgot, or maybe I forgot to shut the light. And then you get back up, and it's like, oh no, someone goes down to the front desk, tell them to shut the light.
Yeah.
So the room
These are first world problems, man.
First, yeah.
Yes, clearly first world problems.
Okay. Right. So a non-Jew who's bringing, you know, he brings stuff to sell. He certainly is, you know, we're certainly choshesh that he's going to bring more on behalf of Yisrael. Even in a place where the majority of his clients are going to be non-Jews. Newspapers on Shabbos are actually like an issue that comes up, right? If somebody delivers the newspaper to your front door on Shabbos, right? Is it like the question? Did he do a malacha on your behalf, right? And you could kind of know. Meaning, he had to deliver to my next door neighbor over there. He has to deliver to my next door neighbor over there. They're both non-Jews. So what did he do on my behalf? He just, you know, he just tossed it from his, you know, from his bike to my front door. That's not a malacha, right? No, he brought it from.
No.
Right.
That's the tainus.
Kind of the Noah is because it's right. It was printed
this morning.
This
is like the
right, and also like what's the Hanoah that you're getting from it, right? Like what's the Hanoah that you're getting from it? You're not eating it, you're reading, right? And technically, I could go. You know, there's a 7-Eleven two blocks away from my house. I could go to the 7-Eleven and sit there and read the newspaper like in the store, and then fold it back up afterwards and put it back. By the way, that's exactly what this is talking about. They go to the coffee house before shul. They go to the coffee house and then they come to shul, so they have what to talk about.
News. Do people know the news in their shul on Shabbos?
I don't know. I don't speak to people. I'm davening.
What do you mean, like what happened the night before?
People do know in our shul.
People know, right?
Yeah. People do know. There are a couple of times I've been, but it's more if there's like
sports scores.
It seems that in our show,
so that, you know, like you always have, you know, every show has its Hatzalah Machers that have the
That's
what I mean.
So people leave now streaming online.
It's all Mibchinas Hatzalah guys.
Right.
This day and age, it's like so. I mean, the actual malach you have to do, you have a constant scroll on your.
Yeah,
you can have an RSS feed on your iPad. Meaning, because he still has in mind that he's going to set, like, he has Jewish clients, so the coffee house would be the same thing, right? Meaning, even though he's mostly cooking for non-Jews, he's certainly going to increase the quantity because he knows that Jews are, or she knows that Jews are coming to buy. Apparently.
No.
Why not?
You can't go into the hot water. The whole point is not only showers, but you can't use hot.
In your house. But how about in the merchats? I think that's a different.
Listen, women go to the mikveh. The mikveh is warm.
Chabad guys go to the mikveh.
Yeah, Hasidim go to the mikveh on Shabbos morning.
Yeah, it's Yiddish.
There's definitely a gzeir for Ambatya.
Right, so it could be that like there a private Ambatya is different, but I don't know. I'm not holding in the sugya. So if it's rov akum mutter lirchot bo miyad the chim and chamamin adaita de ruba mechamami the uyan shot. So imishum ha lo tivra ukmosh perish Rashi hashem hasam delecha lemecha shema yar bishvilo the chimum leechad chimum lemeya. Right, when you heat up the mikvah, it's hot for the whole day or it's hot for everybody. Right, so if you get there, or you know, it doesn't need to be warmed up again. It's warm for everybody. There's no it's the same principle as ner le'echad ner le'me'ah. So therefore, meaning if you had a merchatz that was mostly for Jewish use, right, then you could say that...
it's not comparable, because it's not consumptive. Meaning, everyone's going in the same pool of water, so whether I have 10 guys or 50 guys or whatever fits in, the woman is not cooking more. But for coffee, if there are...
No, exactly, that's what he's saying. It's not like coffee. It's not like coffee. He's saying that a merchatz is not like coffee, meaning the principle of ner l'echad ner l'meya applies... To the merchatz, but because there's a single volume, right? And it's but it doesn't apply to coffee because obviously there you're dealing with small with quantities.
Scientifically, I would think that the merchatz is a lot closer to coffee, not ner l'echad ner l'meya. You know, there's because when you every person who goes into the bathhouse changes the
cools it off a little bit
of the water. Same way that every person
your body warms it up. You're warmer.
I hope they're cooling it. I mean, that's why they're warming it up, is that it should be warmer than body temperature. Mm.
Yeah. So I don't know.
That's when you feel warm.
No, but what he's saying, if you're medayin in his language, he says mechamim bebasachas, right? Meaning you did it once for the whole day. You get it to whatever it is, 180 degrees, and then and you don't warm it up again for the rest of the day. All right. So if that's the case, then it is a simple. It is the case of ner l'echad ner l'meya.
Meaning when you know the pre-shul crowd's coming, you don't do it anymore. You're not making 189 degrees. So okay.
However, sof parak ein tzadin shepasak the mutter likach pasuk kemach shenitchan biyad akum v'lo havi mukta, right, that you can buy bread or flour that was ground by a non-Jew, and it's not mukta. The kevan the havi biyad nachri gamro v'afilu v'ho'afia eno osro the v'shvil nachri hu akan l'shono, right? It was all done by a nachri, and the afia was done on behalf of non-Jews. Right, so this rush seems to be going flying in the face of these sugyas that we just learned. Nirish is sover the afilu b'tagar akum, and it seems that he's even talking about a merchant, a salesman, right? She'osa kidei limkor gamkein muter hecha de'ika rov nachrim, that if most of his customers are non-Jews, then you can buy bread from him on Shabbos. Who neged mashma osa shas? Shekas avnu. Right, and that goes against the sugyas that we just learned. Ira beis Yosef b'simin shin chav he'ar chaim. Hikshagam came al a rush, so I'm not the first to ask on the rush. Mehad nakri shehevi doron li Yisrael midavar sheyesh b'mino v'mechuber. The afal gav the gamu bidei adam afilu hachi aser. Right, yesh b'mino.
I'm all confused. The idea that this is a fias akum, whether he's doing it for that, a fias akum is not only when an akum makes it for. His assumption is only when he does make it for Jews. It's visual akum regardless.
No. Paspalter is they're heterin. He's talking about a case of paspalter, right? I mean, there's bishul akum is not the issue. Bishul akum is not the issue.
But he said that with coffee, there is no bishul akum.
Yeah. It's just a question of, he's talking specifically on Shabbos. Is it mukta or not? And he's saying that the rush, by saying that it's not mukta, meaning that you can actually eat this bread on Shabbos, that goes against these sugyas. And he's going to be mitaretz for the rush. The hadar rush dictate because of the lo havi mukta. He's only saying that it's not mukta. Kevin to havi gamru biyad nachri. The ha'afia eno osro. To b'shvil rov nachrim. I don't mean he's saying that it's not mukta, but it's still aser ba'achila. I don't know. Masha in kem hasam neser al yedei meleches akum. We have to look up the sugya of Nachri Shehevi Doron. Davar Sheyesh B'mino Mechuber. Then in the case of Nachri Shevi Doron and Yesh Bemino B'Mechuber means that like the non-Jew picked it for the Jew, right? And there it's usher because. He did a malacha on behalf of a Jew. Well, but that's the case here. Masha inkein hasam neser al yedei meleches akum sh'osu b'shvil Yisrael. Kach neser machmas mukta Mimalechas Isser, whatever. All right, weiter. Vaskamazu Shulchan Aruch Vashar Achronim Shelo Kedivrei Harash. Right? Nobody agrees with the Rash. Lochein Pasak Vashulchan Aruch or Chaim Ainless Mochalav Ela B'Shas Adchak. So in the Shas Adchak, you can rely on the Rash and you know, eat bread that was baked by a non-Jew on Shabbos. By Yain Shab. V'chein Mistaber. And that makes sense. Kevan D'mitoch Sugya D'shmaitzin Kemo Shekosavnu Mashma Lesser Kol Sheyesh Lachu Shema Hirba B'Shvilo. Right? So, meaning, if the whole thing is that you have to be Choshesh Shema Hirba B'Shvilo V'al Kolpanim Havu D'lo Losif Allah. Dav HaMatirim B'Shas Adchak Hainu Davka Gabe pass. Right, so he says that.
Oh.
Yeah. You see, it makes sense that, you know, we're machmir on this, right? But I'll call upon him if you're going to say that, okay, so the rush is mekil, right? Let's not push it past where it needs to go. That, you know, we can say that b'shas adchak, you can rely on the rush. What's a shas adchak that it's talking about? Afa matirim b'shas adchak, hanu damka gabe pass, the ikal ufam b'shas adchak. Right? When you take that lack of bread is a real shas adchak, v'alalechem yichya adam, right? It's a staple food. If you don't have bread, it means that you might not have anything to eat. Masha'enkin v'shtiyas ha'kafi, shechadosh mikarov bo. Coffee? That's not a staple. That's something brand new. Lo mikri shas adchak. Lack of coffee is not called shas adchak. I guess, nowadays. What's that?
You'll see the next thing he says.
Yeah.
Kind of tempers this.
Yeah, no, I'm saying, like, there are certain people that, like, if they don't get their morning coffee, it's shas adchak, baby.
Big time,
yeah.
Over bread.
Yeah. But, oh, yesh l'chalek ulat, meaning, like, you know, fast days, what do you miss? You know, it's not the bread that you're missing.
That one cup.
Okay, but, oh, yesh l'chalek ulachmir, l'fi masha kasbu atosvos perakol kisvei, shtam yesh yisrael lo'ora, debidvarim shem kalim laso, so something easy to do. V'adam lahu dacharehem, and a person is, right, he's enthusiastic about it, chashinan tfei. We're more choshesh for a malacha if it's easy to do and people are addicted to it, right? Ayein sham the imkain kai gavna yesh lachus gam kain b'coffee. So we should be choshesh on coffee that they're going to increase the volume for the Jews. Shuk kalasos because it's easy to make coffee. The haragel, what?
Pay attention to this line.
The haragel b'kach v'lahu dacharag ma'od ma'od. And if somebody is, you know, accustomed to it, he is very, very enthusiastic about it. He's addicted. Vandai the ikal amigzar tfe, right? So we should be goes there more. We should high time up.
Wait a second. This is for the baal malacha, the nachri. We're worried. What's the point? In kokit, I didn't get
the. In the tosvos.
Yeah, we said orachim kal nasot, meaning.
Meaning, I think I didn't look up the tosvos, yeah, but it sounds like what he's saying is that mishtami sushal ora is talking about a case of ner leechad ner lemeya. And Tosos is saying that if something is very easy to make and is going to draw
it's
people
big,
to it,
it's not a big tircha for the nakri to do.
Correct, it's not right. A big tircha for the nakri to make it, and the Jew, meaning if he increases it, the Jews will flock to him for it, right? Then we're more concerned that he's going to increase volume for, you know, on behalf of the Jews.
Okay.
So I think there's no better example of that than coffee. Mishum high time a pasuk gamkin b'shulchan aruch sif hey is there beliket perot, right? I mean, if somebody is bringing you know, fruits to sell and he's bringing more, you know, we're afraid that he's going to bring more because, you know, it's easy to pick fruits and people like fruit. Avlamanda matir b'pat, right? Even somebody who says that in pas it's okay, right, that a Jew can, you know, avail himself of the pas is gonna aser peros by yenshom b'taz. And it makes sense. When I was a kid, Morkaval Kitvei Shel Abba, and I was on my, you know, still on my father's shoulders. Rabotai Hagaonim Shemichu, and on the shoulders of, you know, my eminent masters, right, my Rebbeim Shemichu, right. They protested B'mishu Hayarotza Lahatir Liknot Kitnit Kluyim, right. You know, roast beans, kluyim machavas, right? Roast in a pan. Akum b'shabas, right? They were going against somebody that wanted to be matir purchasing
chestnuts
or, you know, baked beans or, you know, whatever it is, some sort of, you know, roast peanuts. that were kettle cooked on Shabbos, right? Because it was no, that's not kidneys. Kidneys is legumes. It is. So you know, because it's easy to make, and you know, and because people really like it, so it's usher on Shabbos, right? And so if they were ushering, you know, whatever hummus, then they're certainly going to usher coffee. Shuv matzasi b'shiyari knesses hagedola. I had a Turkish early Achron who wrote a commentary on Shulchan Aruch and on Tur, Gos of Latur. Itzavach kekruchia al minogara. Right, he screamed like a rooster at a terrible minogumar. You know, and he's talking about coffee. Umasik shafilu im eino nicker shemarba b'shvilo. Even if it's if you can't tell that the non-Jew is increasing the quantity of coffee that he's preparing. Usser, it's still usser. Kevin she'efsher shi'arsh b'yarba b'shvilo, since it's possible that he is. V'darash ken kach v'rabim, and that's what he said, you know, in public. I think Istanbul or Smyrna. Ben Venishti was the name. You can Google it, Shmuel.
Ben
Venishti. Ben Venishti was the name of the Baal. Shiari Knesset Hagedola. I think it was Knesset Hagedola and Shiari Knesset Hagedola. One of them is on the Torah and one of them is on the Shulchan Aruch. Right, and from that day forward, anybody who you know for whom fear of God has touched his heart, right, they refrain from drinking it on Shabbos. But even without that, anybody that's Yirei Hashem, they don't even go on, you know, during the week to these coffee houses, these new fangled Starbucks.
This guy was a nothing.
Oh, he for sure does. He for sure does. First of all, he definitely has one in Hebrew.
I mean Hebrew. No, but the real problem is that...
Right, Google Sefer Knesset Hagedola or Shiari Knesset Hagedola.
Shiari Knesset Hagedola, that's what I googled. But the real problem is that the Gemara talks about Shimon HaTzadok was Shiari Knesset Hagedola.
Oh, yeah, so...
It might be that if I go down like 17 entries, I'll actually find it.
So Sefer Knesset Hagedola or something. I don't know. Mishum Bishol Akum. Right. In a whole of the basement, which was the Af, the Ainbaz, what's it?
I got him on a Google book, second page of Google, 1680.
No, okay. So it's really one generation before Rav Reicher, before Shlosh Yaakov. Mishum Bishol Akum. So he's saying, it's not an issue of Bishol Akum. Af, the Ainbaz, Mishum Bishol Akum. Yish Sharchash Ashros Bazet. Kedi Isa Gamkin, Behalchus, Halachus Kitanos, Simintes, Vizelashono, Al Mishum Moshev, Leitzim Ika. Right, meaning there's no problem with Bishul Akum, there's no problem with this, but there's a problem of Moshe Vleitzim. Shomer Nafsho Yerachik Mizeh. Right, and somebody who is concerned for his soul should stay away from it. So when it comes to hanging out in the coffee houses during the week, you know, it's one of those things that, like, no, nobody here says it's usser, but anybody who, you know, anybody who's Yirei Hashem, right, or anybody who's Shomer Nafsho will definitely be staying away from it. Right, which is one of those, you know, it's one of those soft languages. It's like, you know, yeah, sure, it's not usser, but you know, if you have any concern for your soul, you're going to stay the heck away from it.
Trying to get to the spirit of the law here, you know, Bishul Akum is so that you shouldn't, you know,
chasnus.
You shouldn't socialize with goyim. And here we find an exception to Bishul Akum,
right?
Like, but you still shouldn't socialize with the goyim.
Yeah, I don't know if Moshe Vleitzim. Like, I don't know if it's because of socializing with Goyim. There were it's interesting. Prague, you know, and this is in the middle of the century. Prague was one of the few places places that had Jewish.
This is before it came to Prague.
Correct. It's before it became to Prague. It was later in the century. Prague actually had Jewish coffee houses that were open on Shabbos. Mm. This is something that I'm interested in this right now because it's something that I'm learning in my classes in school. They were focusing on later in the century in Prague, but, you know, I kind of...
So we could open a coffee house in Lodin. I'm not really sure.
Keep it on, yeah, in the new shopping center there.
Oh, yeah. There we go.
You should do some sort of, you know, figure out how they worked it out in the Judengasse in Prague in the 1750s and 60s and how they got it open.
You can, if you have a cleaning person, you can make a cleaning person the part owner.
Yeah.
Run around Chavez.
No, but this was owned by Jews. They were owned by Jews. You know, it could be people had like subscriptions or people had, like you paid a certain like they were almost like clubs though. Right? You saw in that picture. It was almost like a club.
Yeah.
Right? If you think about it in terms of the Diogenes Club in Sherlock Holmes, or the club at the beginning of, Around the World in 80 Days. Right? It's like a men's club, right? People would go and hang out and whatever. So you pay membership to the club and you get unlimited coffee.
Right.
Yeah, it doesn't change the environment. They would still call them much lazy.
That for sure, but I'm saying, then you already get into that's already Musser. It's like, don't give me Musser, give me a halacha, right? Is there anything halachically wrong with going there and, sitting and reading the paper and drinking a glass of coffee before Shul and Shabbos? No? Okay, I'll see you there, right?
I think the Beis Medrash and
Rabbi, would you rather me schmooze there or in Shul? What do you say?
That's just my opinion.
Which one?
Both.
Yeah. Okay. So, should we go with this next one? It's shorter, but it's...
Again, in general, this is approached in the shoot, which is to say, there's a Shabbat Chach, we have this sort of escape hatch, meaning there's something fundamental in this tshuva where, again, that comes often. We have this rush. The rush says, I know we have this whole problem of Bishlam and Shabbos and Isra'anah. It's not really a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says... Yes, it's true we use B'Shat Chak, and for Pathabrus's to have it on Shabbos, but of course, we only use it B'Shat Chak. Now, when you take a more fundamental view, it's either you're in or out. This idea that we have Eitz Lasot Hashem, and okay, you're starving, eat! I don't care what you have the food for, get the food for. No, I have a shot. That's where it becomes problematic.
First of all, I don't think the halacha, necessarily operates like that, meaning Shabbos Chak is something which is whatever, Shasad Chak, or Hefsid Meruba, or meaning things
there are two different things. No. Hefsid Meruba means in the original, there was a seat in the original law.
Lav Dafka. A lot of times, Hefsid Meruba is, there's a machlokes, we follow this position.
No, but in the fundamental, in the Ikar, I mean, when you look at it in Mishnah times, in early conceptions, it was B'Shat Chak, we have a law, and say B'Shasad Chak, we can rely on a minority opinion. That's what it applies.
Right, and I think that's what's going on here. I think what's going on here is that, and that's what always happens. Ekroni me'ikr hadin, I think the halacha here is going to be, it's aser, right? Except that there's the rush, that's a dissenting opinion. So if it's shasad chak, rely on the rush. The rush has broad enough shoulders to rely on. But I think it's clear that he's saying that me'ikr hadin, we don't pass him like the rush.
I struggle with that. Either you're starving and... You need to eat, but the idea that there's an environment, either it's a legitimate opinion. So what I'm asking you is,
obviously it's a real Shasat Chak. You eat whatever you can. You eat freaking bacon, okay, right? But I'm saying there are, and that is a principle, right? If somebody it's kima kima, right? You do it in gradations, right? So here, if it's a Shasat Chak, right, it's better to eat bread, which the rush would say is mutter, than to eat something which l'chol adeos would be aser. I'm saying it's...
Yeah, I understand that, but it's like...
I guess it's...
Meaning...
Halacha is a lot messier than that. Halacha is not an absolutist, right or wrong, up or down, yes or no. There are,
It's mostly a no.
What? No, but I think that's the point here. Meaning, me'ikr hadin.
Talk about the beauty of the construct. This starts to meld the beauty. I mean, to say that we can use it then, but you can't use it then. And meaning,
it means that it's not something that exists in an ivory tower. It's something that exists in real life. Meaning, the Brisker conceptions of halacha, which are very very pristine and not messy, and everything is falls into its boxes and categories.
I'm okay how this works out. Stop. You go one way. Pick the alternative, but then to say that the other one only works, then you can't take the other one out of your pocket when it suits you. So if we say that,
when it suits you, Shasad Chak. Shasad Chak doesn't mean that like
hard to use. We have all other things. We have another legislative path. I'm just saying within this one, this no longer falls into the idea of Bishul Akum, and it's not because it's not that. You say it's not that. Oh yeah, but if you need Shasad Chak,
okay. Ma'isa Shabbos, right? The Isser Hanoa on something that a non-Jew cooks for you on Shabbos is Durabanan. It's an Isser Durabanan. Okay? In an Isser Durabanan, in a Shasat Chak, when there's a Rishon that says, a major Rishon that says, that, you know, that it's okay.
Then you, so you'd say that the limitation of the Schlissiakov approach is, yeah, if it's right over there, but no, say there.
No, he doesn't mention that. I don't think he has to mention that. I'm saying that he is paskening here. He's not giving you musr. He's saying, may ikr hadin, it's usr. The coffee is usr, may ikr hadin, right?
It's Maisa Shabbos.
It's Maisa Shabbos. Completely, 100%, right? The fact, because the rush has this, you know, has this heter, that nobody understands.
But I'm going back to the point we started too, where the guy was saying, Maisa B'chol Yom, we live in a community. Every Shabbos, these people all have fresh challah from the... It wasn't like one guy. This is for them. It's not even shatak.
Yeah.
Right.
This is the norm.
And this is the norm. That's right.
He's not screwing from the hilltops. Showing, that's fine. He doesn't say anything.
It's not.
Well, he says,
they shouldn't be doing that either.
But he doesn't pick a fight.
But this one, he's taking the Hashkafic part of it, which really bothers the Moshe Leitzin, and now converting it into saying, because the his nafkamina between pas and coffee.
Meaning he's saying that, okay, so Lamaisa, this is the norm. They have the rush to rely on. But now, he basically wants, like,
so
you're right,
so
that
so
what he
saying,
wants
I'm
to
saying,
do here, what he wants to do...
His Hashkafa is coming through.
I don't think it's just Hashkafa.
We see this in half the Chubas we learned.
No, I don't think it's half the... Meaning, we could be Melamed Zchus. We have a way to be Melamed Zchus on the whole community that they get fresh baked bread on Shabbos morning, and we can say that they're relying on the rush, right? And it's not Shasad Chak. Nunu, it's still the rush that they're relying on. But he's saying that. But even the rush would only say, you know, wouldn't say what he says if it's a case of you know, kal la asos v'adam lahu dachrehem. Even the rush would say that it doesn't apply then.
I know, but that to me is the weakest argument, like, because he's taking the Gemara based on the fact that the return on investment for the non-Jew is so high because there's not a lot of effort, and these people love it. So that is the one thing he's hanging his distinction between. So I mean, I really believe the Hashkafa is coming very strongly through. I'm not going to say anything about
it. It could be. I mean, listen, I think that the fact that it's a new thing, right, definitely he's like, look. Well, it's not Chadash Asur Min HaTorah. It's the fact that we lived for so long without it means that it's not really a staple. Now that has been around for, you know, 400 years. Maybe you would say differently, right? Maybe it is a staple. But in the time of the Shulchan Aruch Yaakov, it's not a staple. And, you know, so he's saying that the fact that it's already become entrenched in terms of, you know, for Pas, there's really not a whole heck of a lot that I can do about that. I think it's us or except in a Shasat Chak, but, you know, I'm not going to make a stink about it because, you know, the people that are doing it are following the rush. Even though I don't really get why the rush is saying what he's saying. You know, but to come and then extend that to coffee, which the rush possibly also wouldn't extend it to coffee, right? And the fact that, you know, the Shulchan Aruch paskins that it's only b'shasad chak that we, you know, let's keep it where it is, right? But you're right that, you know, it's not just a question of pure halach. It's also a question of social policy. It's also a question of, like, what you think Shabbos should look like. It's also a question of, you know, knowing where you can pick a battle and knowing where you can. He knows that he's not going to be able to win if he fights against, you know, people drinking, you know, people. He's not going to be able to fight against
people eating
the challahs, the fresh challahs on Shabbos. And so pick this fight. He probably lost this fight too. You know?
Who would have ever thought going to Starbucks on, like, you know, Friday morning and prepaying for your coffee tomorrow and walking in and getting your nice cappuccino?
Because everybody brewed coffee at home today.
I'm saying, I would have ever thought that. That's what he's discussing. He's discussing in theory.
Yeah.
Tell the barista to pay for it in the morning, come get a cappuccino.
That's right.
And then there's like 50 other sudden matches. He's like, no. He's not even making the coffee, right? There's a machine that makes coffee. Nobody's cooking the water, and nobody's going to literally just.
Really, we could all go to Starbucks now.
No, it seems strange just only because we live in such a suburban setting. But, you know, if we were walking to Shul past the Starbucks, and there were a lot of non-religious Jews sitting there, and the Starbucks made it clear that the religious Jews are welcome to come drink coffee and, you know, pay later or something like that. It would suddenly become very relevant, right? Stop up for a quick coffee on the way to Shul?
Yeah.
Yeah.
what's wrong with it? What's the problem? And you know, it's not a far-fetched.
Right. And then some rabbi would say that it's not a problem, and then somebody else would come back and say, but look, you know, and they did it here, and they did it there, and they did it there, and it was, you know, it's not a new thing. All right, we won't do the one on the...
the elevator man to press the button for you.
Yeah, that's, that yeah.
Yeah, there's no elevator.
No, so it's interesting. So the same posing is matir when it comes to,
lights on...
When it comes to what's it called? When it comes to newspapers on Shabbos.
Oh.
Let's do this one quickly. It's short. Halachas of Aruch Chaim. The igros shlomim, right? If you get a letter from a friend, Habayim b'Shabbos, a friend comes on Shabbos, Shemuter likros bo, you're allowed to read it. Lefisha ein yodim makasuv bo, you don't know what's in it. V'ulai yesh bo tzorach hagufen, maybe it's something that you really need on Shabbos. Ad kan. V'kasha. Question: Hatein achshiyikrabo hamikablo. Maybe the recipient, you know, he can read it because he doesn't know. Aval akosev shiyo dea ba'asmo she'en shom tzaruch be'igro be'yaras shelo. But the writer who knows full well that there's no need, right? That there's nothing necessary. Right? It doesn't need to be read right away. Nothing in his letter is, you know, urgent. Via giyo b'shabbos, and he knows that it's going to arrive on Shabbos. L'chaveru yehi asul l'kazul.
He should be better than ours.
What?
Yeah.
Right, that you know which day it's going to arrive.
Yeah, it's an overnight FedEx.
Yay, Usher Lukasvo. It should be Usher to write it. Gam, more than. Second question. Yilamdenu Rabbeinu Almas Sochem Ha'olam B'Medina Zu. Rabim V'Gam Shlemim. Right, these really, you know, fine, upstanding Fruma Eden. Shkorim B'Shabbos B'Kisvehem. Shenidpisu Chidushahem B'Sipurim L'Chamas. Uchiyotze B'Hem. Right. What's the heter for what everybody around here does that they read these new, you know, writings that are printed with news and stories about war? Kiyotze behem, Beloshon Ashkenaz, Naya Zeitung. V'halo aser likros b'Shabbos b'Sipurim Melchamos. You're not allowed to read about wars on Shabbos. K'mivor sham be'Aruch Chaim.
There's a specific seat that says you can't let Sipurim Melchamos?
Yeah. But it's talking about history books. It's talking about like history books, like war chronicles. It's not talking about newspapers.
It's the war that on the East Front.
The Rambam talks about it, meaning like there are certain things that you're not allowed to read on Shabbos, right? And one of them is, you know, Sipurei Melchamos, because it's, you know, it's you're not allowed to read the like history books. Tshuva. Almash masmiyala kosev shua gorim l'chaver yikro b'Shabbos nearly pashat de grama kazu ein chashash aser. Don't worry about that. Klal b'Shabbos. B'Yisurei d'Rabbanan. Right, and it's like you're worrying about grama on an iser dera banan ugidola mizu matzina b'shasof perak kama to posof perak based above a kama. Amar Rabba zara kli mirosh gag v'hayu tachtov karim oksasos. Right, if you threw something from the top of a from the top of the roof, and you knew that there were, you know, cushions at the bottom, ba'achar v'silkan, and somebody came and took them away, afilu kadam hu v'silkan pater, or even if he before it like reached there. Before it got to the bottom, he came and he took them away. Putter, it's putter. My time. The beidna deshada psuke mafzik. Meaning it's not considered grama because at the time that I threw it, there was something that was there to stop the fall. Vorasham b'shas till inyan Shabbos afilu malacha de oraisa time alon hachi. Even when it comes to malacha de oraisa, that we hold that's not grama. Hi gavna. The time that he wrote, lo avad iser klal, he didn't do any iser. It's not grama. Who says he's going to certainly read it on Shabbos? Right? Here we go. Maybe it won't even arrive on Shabbos. Maybe the guy who gets it on Shabbos, for some reason, he won't read it on Shabbos. So there's no grama. Meaning may ikr when he sends it, there's no grama. Uvamas Eza Anashim Monim Likros Liftoach Aksavim Shabbos. And the truth of the matter is, you know, there are some people that don't read it on Shabbos. Kala Davar Loyadati Shum Khashash Iser Al Hakosev. So I don't know any reason to ask this on the writer. Al Dvar Kriyas Hanaya Tzaitim, about reading newspapers on Shabbos. Ef Shalomer, right? So you see, like, it's weak. He's trying to justify. Ef Shalomer, maybe you can time it. Maybe they think that it's only talking about the old wars. There's no reason, there's no need to read about them today. But the one that today's newspapers, which tell about today's wars, they're necessary. That's how I'm going to know whether there's war coming. Right? Or I can know about all these other terrible things. Yeah? There's a cholera epidemic in Warsaw. I need to know about that. Maybe it'll, you know, lead to some sort of rescue. I could take action if I read the newspaper. So what's the terror? So fine, so I have one guy in their community that, you know, reads the newspaper, and if there's anything in there that, you know, that's problematic.
For one guy, not for everyone else.
Of course you can.
Which guy gets to be on Paul Shabbos?
Whatever, you can choose in the community. Like, you know, there's certain things. Doctors do certain things. Hatzalah guys do certain things. Yes, ambulance drivers do certain things, right? Whatever, like you can definitely appoint one person to be the.
So Wall Street Journal considered.
Nice.
Not doing any trade.
I thought it doesn't. They don't publish on Saturday, do they?
They do now.
Yeah,
they started it a number of years back.
All right.
Good.
Okay.
You understand? My parents get it on Shabbos morning.
There's
no problems. So it's a week.
I don't remember getting paper on Shabbos.
So here it's files, it's interesting that you have two brand new, I wouldn't call them technologies, two brand new cultural artifacts, coffee, newspapers, that appear on the world around the same time and in the same sort of context, right? It was in, you know, they were reading the newspapers in the coffee houses. But in one, he says...
Well, the second one, this business about not reading history books on Shabbos,
mm-hmm.
I know I'm largely ignorant, so I've never heard of that, sir.
Rambam talks about his proportion of Rambam.
I'm sure he's not making it up.
Really?
I'm just proportion of Rambam. I'm sure he's not making it up. I'm like, what? You can't read this.
Next Shabbos afternoon, the whole only Rambam. All Shabbos afternoon. There you go.
Whatever. No, I'm saying, in terms of what's done today, in terms of, you know, whatever, fine. It's on the books. There's a... the question of, like, what you're allowed to read on Shabbos. You know, there was the whole My Uncle the Netziv thing about, you know, said that the Netziv read the newspaper on Shabbos. And again, you're talking about like different types of, you know, Musaf Shabbat, which is the Shabbos reading of choice, and, you know, amongst Anash, you know, it's not talking about, you know, it's there's a lot of history in there, and I think that today people enjoy reading history, learning history, a lot more than they, you know, a lot more than they once did.
I feel like if you qualify and say, you know, either because of the depressing nature of reading about old battles, or the fact that there are no touch points to modern hashkafa, etc. But considering,
right, you know what? But it was considered, you know, again, the novel, the first novels were written only in like the 1400s, 1300s.
Right.
You know, when the Rambam's talking about that, it's talking about popular literature that's, you know.
That's the Rambam talking about.
It's, yeah.
I'm so shocked at the fact that they got fresh talent in the morning.
Is that going on here? Are we missing that in my family?
I'm like, you can all hold this group right now, so like,
frankly, Sri Lanka is not going around.
Baguettes.
Challah in the mornings.
Fresh baguette and
apple. It's pretty good to eat here on the plateau. Fresh challah?